Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Time to start our worship service. I'm going to ask you if it's convenient for you. Let's all stand as we sing, Whom Shall I Fear?
Morning, Osage.
Good morning.
Yeah, here we go. We're in the Lord. Ain't God good?
All the time.
All right, do not forget, this morning, fifth Sunday dinner. So just plan on staying. I give Brother Lanny the green light to preach at least 15, 20 minutes longer since you don't have to cook lunch today. So we just have it right in here. So, yeah, he's all excited now. Starting Wednesday night, they're going to start having a movie night, and going to be this Wednesday. Be over here in the gym, so plan on attending that. Be starting at 6 o'clock, and September 11th, we have the Your Life Matters rally. Still needing some water and soda and door prizes for that, so please help gather up that in the ladies' meeting on the 25th at First Baptist Church in Harrison. You're on. Come on up here. I can tell you're wanting to share.
This is a reminder for potato salad, coleslaw, and cornbread. The cookies are covered. You don't need to bring any desserts. So, but please, ladies, sign up so I'll know what we've got for the potato salad, coleslaw, and cornbread. We're going to need quite a bit. Thank you.
And also, don't forget to mark your calendars. October 13th will be our first Awana, so be ready for that. So, you know, I heard a little quote this morning on the radio on the way in that said, Jesus doesn't expect you to do the impossible. He just asks you to trust Him to do it through you. So, let's pray. Grace Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much that we can come and hear Your Word, and Lord, just sing praises to You. Lord, we just turn this time over to You and just ask You to bind Satan from this place. Lord, just speak to our hearts, God, and direct us. Lord, I want to pray for each person here today, Lord, that they'll get out of Your Word something that they can apply to their lives this week. Lord, I want to pray for the people in Louisiana. The hurricane are hitting this morning, and Lord, just wrap Your arms around those people, Lord, and just give them protection. And Lord, just ask You to be with those that could not be here with us today for whatever purpose. But we love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand again, if it's convenient, as we sing Higher Ground. I'm pressing on. One, two, three. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within on and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Behold, the Lion and the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you were ransomed people for God, from every tribe, every language, and people, and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. He is worthy."
Thank you.
There's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. God of revival,
we've seen what you can do. You're God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before in greater measure, there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move, all things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save, all things are possible.
The darkest
will crumble.
If you're involved in children's church, we're going to give you an opportunity to take charge. If you're Indians, whatever they are. Okay. We all need to be that excited about going. Come through the door like that. Thank you for being here. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the second chapter. I want us to look at the blueprint of the church, Christ building the church, and what that is about, the importance of that. I recognize that sometimes we use churchy terms, and folks that haven't been to church don't understand those sometimes. But there's certain doctrinal issues that have to be that we have to stay with in order to keep the church the church. If it's not the church, it's some kind of club. The word church itself means gathering. Upon this rock I will build my gathering, my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it, Jesus told Peter. A few years ago, a man talked to me about becoming a member of the church and asked him about his relationship with Christ. And if you were to come today to become a member of this church, I would ask you about your own personal relationship with Christ, because I think that's the most important thing, that you've been born again. And that you know that you've been born again. There's no such thing as it just kind of happened, or that I've just kind of always been a Christian. You haven't. Jesus said in John, the third chapter, when he was talking to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so there must be this event in your life where you're born again, where you have trusted Christ as your Savior, and that He's come into your heart to be your Savior, and that He's changed your life. No man can be a Christian without being changed. Any man that's in Christ Jesus is a new creature, the Bible says. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Anyway, I asked this man about his relationship with Christ. He shared his salvation experience, and I asked him about what church he was baptized into. And he said, I wasn't baptized into a church. I said, yeah, you were too. No. He said, there was just a group of people met down on the river, and he said, there's baptizing folks, and I chose to be baptized. And I was baptized, and I didn't become a member of the church. And I said, well, you became a member of a church. And it would be Christ's church, because I think that when you're baptized into the church. Now, I believe in the local church. I believe that you're baptized into the local church. If I baptize you or somebody else baptizes you here, you're baptized into the local church. And I'm going to get into that later on as we look at the book of Acts, not today, but I'm going to get into that later on about being baptized into the church. And I asked him about his baptism. Was he immersed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I would call that scriptural baptism. and we would accept you as a member because you've been scripturally baptized and because you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Man came and talked to the song leader one day, and he said, "I'd like to sing in your choir." He didn't know him, and he talked to him a little bit, and he said, "Are you a member of this church?" He said, "I'm a member of the invisible church." He said, "Well, why don't you go sing in the invisible choir?" I think there is a great deal to be said about church membership and the local church. We have kind of lost, and when I say we, I'm talking about Christianity in a whole and the church as a whole. We've kind of lost grip on the importance of the local church, and we've just kind of thrown it. We want to make sure that we're seeker friendly. I've heard that term. People talking about that they want their church to be seeker friendly. You know what I've discovered? That the Bible says that there's not anybody that seeks after God. That He's seeking them, but they're not seeking Him till the Spirit goes to dealing with their heart. And so I think what has happened, a lot of folks have become religious without becoming saved. And they have seen themselves as a part of this group that is some kind of fantasy that they've made up about the church that doesn't stand along what the Bible teaches about the church. So now that I've thoroughly confused you, take your Bible and turn to Acts 2, and let's start with verse 42. We'll stand together. Matter of fact, let's back up one here and start with verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." The word is baptizo in the original. It means to engulf something into something else, envelope something into something else. You cannot baptize an individual without immersing them. There's no such thing. There is no such thing. Did you hear me? There is no such thing as baptism outside of immersion baptism. Folks die, we bury them. We don't sprinkle a little dirt on them and leave them up on top. That's not burial, and that's not baptism. The Bible says buried with him by baptism, a watery grave. It represents the death. Do you like standing? It represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Nothing else can represent that. You can't sprinkle folks and it represents the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And there's no such thing as infant baptism. Nothing. There's nothing in the Scripture about it. It does not teach that. It's no such thing as that. People take their kids down and have the priest to sprinkle them, and they think they're all right for eternity. I tell you, it's a big fat lie right out of hell. It's not the truth. "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were..." Now look. "They were added unto them." Wonder how they knew. "They were added unto them 3,000 souls." I like this verse really good. I like them all, but I like this one especially. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, what? And he added, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You can be seated. When Jesus was talking to Peter in Matthew, the 16th chapter, Christ's promise for the church is based on the divine blueprint that he has for the church. An activity, and I love it. I love for us to do stuff. And heard this before, but someone said that Mary had a little lamb, would have been a sheep, but joined Osage Baptist Church and died for lack of sleep. I like activity. But activity is not necessarily a sign of a Christ-built church. In Revelation 3 and verse 1, when the Lord is speaking to the church in the New Living Translations, he says about Sardis, I know all that the things that you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. You have a reputation for, man, that church is on. That church is alive. Man, it's always doing something. Their youth are going to Colorado and going on ski trips, and they're doing this, and they're involved in all these things. And man, that's the most active church I ever seen in my life. And that's what folks thought about Sardis. And Jesus said, you have a reputation for being active, but you're dead. Wow. What an accusation by the Lord. What an accusation. You're dead. What about us as individuals? What about us as individuals? I'm telling you, folks, it's easy. I've been going through the motions for 50-plus years. You can go through the motions and not... I don't mean that that's all I ever do is go through the motions. I don't want to put myself down there too far. But you can go through the motions and not have anything. There's been lots of times that I stood in the pulpit and prayed, Lord, I ain't got a thing. I'm as dry as a bone. I feel as backslid as all get out. And I just don't even feel, if I did what I felt like I should do, I'd just get up and say, I don't have anything, everybody go home. You don't know why I didn't do that? About third Sunday, I'd be on some other place to go. Sardis had all kinds of reputation for being alive, but the church was dead. Despite the appearance of Sardis, it was operated by dead men, as in the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, corpses man the ship, dead men pull the oars, dead men hoist the sails, dead men steer the vessel. Sardis had departed from the divine blueprint. Going through the motions. Everybody's okay. you're all doing good. Don't worry about that little sin. Everybody's got it. Just don't preach on sin. Don't bring it up. Don't talk about anything that folks might be doing. Let's stay away from the scripture when it talks about issues that's going to cause a conflict. We just won't preach on those. Dead men. Dead men preaching. Dead men behind the pulpit. Dead men in the classrooms. Because what it takes to make you and me alive is the Spirit of God. And without it, we're dead. So let's get back to the blueprint. The first church of Jerusalem was born in a prayer meeting on the day of Pentecost. Well, what was this day of Pentecost? You know, we hear a lot of talk about Pentecost and Pentecostalism. Pentecost was a feast, Exodus 34 tells us. It's called the Feast of Weeks. It marked the completion of the barley harvest in Leviticus 23. It is called the Feast of Harvest in Exodus 23. And work was prohibited during the feast. So, what took place? Two loaves of bread was to be baked with leaven. There were to be 10 blood sacrifices. Now, you've got to get this in your mind that this is what had taken place at Jerusalem. And they were on the day of Pentecost. They were in the Feast of Pentecost, that last day. 10 blood sacrifices, 7 one-year-old male lambs with no defects, 1 young bull, 2 rams, 1 male goat, and 2 one-year-old male lambs, all to be sacrificed. This was Pentecost. But all of it represented something. All of it meant something. It was not some kind of emotional uproar. It wasn't some kind of feel-good feeling that was taking place. It was laid out in Scripture to be done exactly the way that God in the Old Testament told them to do it. And everything meant something. The blood of the sacrifices, of course, speaks of the cross. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we don't sacrifice bulls and lambs and goats anymore. Because the perfect, are you hearing me today? Man, I hope so. The perfect sacrifice was found. The lamb without spot or without blemish, with no sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. It had to be Him. Couldn't be anyone else. I've said lots of times when my kids were sick, I wish I could take their place. I wish it was me. I wish it was me that was sick. I wish it was me that was suffering. I wish there was some way that I could exchange with them and I would do it instead of them. I would die for my kids or my grandkids, wouldn't you? I'd take a bullet. I'd die for them, wouldn't you? Of course you would. But I want to tell you something about your sin. No one else could pay your sin debt but Jesus. Nobody else. He was the only one qualified to take our place on the cross to pay our sin debt. My sin. was nailed to the cross, the songwriter says, and I bear it no more. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. One of these days, if Jesus doesn't come first, I'll take my last breath, and so will you. My ticker will stop, and I'll die. I'm going to heaven, and I'd like to take you with me. But I want you to know I'm not getting there on my good works. I'm getting there on the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed for me on Calvary's cross. He paid my sin debt. They used olive oil to keep the lamps burning, for one thing. 24/7 kept the lamps burning. And the olive oil, when we get to the Scripture, and the New Testament in particular, stands for the Holy Spirit. It represents the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, when you invite Jesus into your heart as personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes and makes His residence in your life, in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul said, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit into yourself. And you're able to live the Christian life not because you're a hand at it, but because the Holy Spirit lives that life through you. There's someone in you that's living that life for you and in you and pressing you toward that. He convicts the world of sin. When you sin, the Holy Spirit blows the whistle. Says, Lanny, it's not right. Don't think that way. Don't talk that way. Don't say that. Don't have that attitude. That's not Christ. That's your old sin nature coming out. That's not the Lord. That's not Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's your old sin nature. And then finally, did you notice that they baked the bread? And this is one thing that when the children of Israel left Egypt and went into the wilderness, they took with them, they had this, they had a table, and they ate a lamb, and they took the blood of the lamb, and they spread it over the doorpost and down each side of the door. And when the death angel passed over, the Lord said that, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And those that had the blood over the door and down each side, their firstborn lived. Those that didn't, their firstborn died. And so that was, they were to, year after year, to commemorate that exodus from Egypt. And so they were, there were certain things that they were to do. And so as it was passed down to the new, it became an ordinance in the New Testament church, it was unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, wine. But in this, on the day of Pentecost, they baked it with leaven. Did you get it? Did you catch it? So let's think about this. If the bread represents the church, and I believe that it does, if the bread represents the church, and it was to be baked with leaven. What does that mean? It said it's going to be filled with all kinds of people. There's going to be, when you read and study the New Testament, you're going to make a discovery that the Lord tells us what to watch out for false teachers, because they're going to be hidden in the church. There's just going to be all kinds of leaven hidden in the church. And I think that's what I may be dead wrong, I think that's what that represents. Let's see, where did I get to? Look back over to Acts 2. Go back up to verse 1 in Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's as far as I was going to go with that. So we see three things here in the giving of the Spirit. Matter of fact, the Lord had told the disciples, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, I want you to just wait till you get the power. Just wait until you get the power. Waiting until the Spirit comes. And so they're praying, and the Spirit comes, and there was a sound, a rushing mighty wind, verse 2 says. And there was something that they were able to see, obviously. There was something visible about that. I think that when the Spirit is working, there is something visible about that. Now, I don't think it's like it was on the day of Pentecost, but I think that when the Spirit of God is on a man or woman and they're doing the work of God, that visibly we are able to see that this is the Spirit of the Lord working. This is God working in their life. So there was this, it appeared like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they spoke with other tongues. Now I'm going to stop right here and hope that you'll come back tonight. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told them to wait until they got the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when the Holy Spirit come, the New Testament uses the term, and they had the baptism of the Spirit. Now, when you think about baptism, that can't happen to you without you knowing it. We had some friends over yesterday, and we was talking about back years ago, so one of the baptisms that we had, and we're pastoring a mission church, and first baptism service we had 19 folks to baptize, and we borrowed the baptistry at First Baptist Church Pocahontas to do that baptizing, and I'm bigger now than I've ever been in my life, but I hadn't grown up any, so I've always I was pool green or something. I had never been very big, but anyway, and I was a lot smaller then than I am now. Anyway, we're baptizing these folks, and I baptized this great big guy. He is this much bigger than me. And I said, now, you're going to need to help me a little bit. He wasn't just tall, he was big. I said, when we go down, I said, when I start to lift you back up, I said, I want you to slip your foot back behind you just a little bit and give yourself a little boost and help me get you back up out of the water. And I don't know how he misunderstood those instructions some way, but when I got him under the water, he took his feet and pushed against the steps on the other side, and I was holding him like this. I went down and I was holding him like this, and he just shot across. I was watching him. He just shot across the bottom of the baptistry, and it went boom on the other end. And he ran his head into the steps on the other end. Well, I got him back up, and I said, let's do this again. So I said, don't do anything. I'll just do everything. You just don't do anything. And he didn't. But when I brought him back up that second time, blood was streaming off the side of his head. He cut a big gash on the side of his head. I don't know why I was telling that story. I don't know where I was going with that. But in the baptism of the Spirit, you can't be baptized and not know it. That guy knew it, and he wore a scar all the rest of his life from his baptism. And I took a teasing about that from the church members, not being a very good hand at baptizing. But he knew it. You cannot be filled with the Spirit and not know it. It just is, when you are, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God takes control of your life. And He changes everything. I want to ask you a very personal, direct question. I was talking to these folks that had come to visit us. They were from church in Pocahontas, where we had pastored for several years, and I began to ask about people. What about Junior? He's dead. And Linda? She's dead. Whit? He's dead. Your brother, your sister, they're dead. And on and on and on, a bunch of people dies in 40 years. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity at? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior, and have you been born again? Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I've had folks to come to me and say, I did it because somebody else was doing it, and I didn't want to be left out of the group. And all kinds of things. I've had folks, I've asked folks to write out their testimony, and they say, I can't because I don't have one. It's never happened to me. I'm a member of the church, I've been baptized, but I've never been born again. Well, you can't be. You've got to be born again. If you've not done that, if you have not done that, would you do that today? Mike, would you come and help us? And Roger, would you come and help us? Would you do that today? And then, if you've been saved but you've never been scripturally baptized, do you not want to do that? Don't you want to be baptized scripturally? Now, I'm not saying that I'm the only one that's got scriptural baptism. I'm not. But I'm just saying that you can't be scripturally baptized unless you've been immersed. Do you want to be a member? Do you want to join this local church? in order to become a member of this church or any Southern Baptist church, two qualifications. You be saved. You be scripturally baptized. Let's stand together. As we sing, You Come.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today.
Will you come? Would you come? Would you make that decision for Christ today yourself? What's God leading you to do? What's God leading you to do today?
Stay and have lunch with us. And so, Todd, you care to dismiss us in prayer and ask a blessing for our food, please?